Thank you to everyone that's helping with during the service, including our deacons and elders, those who helped with the Lord's Supper, and those who will help clean up afterwards. Delilah foolishly went against Samson and the Israelites by betraying him for money. People have some odd ways to make money. Earlier this year, Alex Craig started his company, Potato Parcel, which does only one thing. It ships inscribed potatoes to anyone you choose. So if you've got a friend out there whose day would be brightened by a spud, this service is for you. According to CNBC, Craig sold more than 3,000 potatoes in 4 months and made an average of $10,000 in sales per month. Unbelievably, he's not the first person who thought of mailing spuds to people. MailASpud.com began in 2014 with the philosophy that everyone could use a potato now and then. For $10, the company will mail a potato anywhere in the United States. But beware, the company does not recommend eating the potato after they've shipped it to you. So for $10, you can get a worthless potato. If you're an outgoing person with some extra time on your hands, why not let someone rent you as a friend? Rentafriend.com is a website that allows customers to rent local friends based on an hourly rate. All activities are platonic, and it's different from online dating. According to the website, some friends make more than $2,000 a week being a full-time friend. If anyone needs a full-time friend, please let me know. Those who are friends just on the weekends make between $300 and $500. Whether you pay attention to it or not, what you wear every day serves as advertising. If you're walking around in a Nike shirt or a Yankees hat, hopefully you're not walking around in a Yankees hat, more like a Cowboys hat, you are essentially giving that brand or team free advertising. Taking advantage of that concept, some people have gotten creative about advertising and have learned how to get paid for it. This idea got a lot of attention after a man named Andrew Fisher used eBay to auction off his forehead as an advertisement. The winner of the bid war was Green Pharmaceuticals, which reportedly paid him close to $37,400 to advertise its Snore Stop product on his forehead for 1 month. In an interview years later, Fisher said, "For 40 grand, I don't regret looking like an idiot for a month." And now we come to Judges. Moses had been used by God to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. Then they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Joshua led them into the promised land. And after Joshua, between Joshua and the kings, there was a period of judges where God raised up different individuals to deliver his people. They were not as powerful as kings, but they were empowered by God to deliver the people and to glorify God. Now, Delilah in the Bible is best known as the one who brought the ruin of Samson. Now, William asked earlier today if I would address how Samson got all those foxes on fire to destroy the crops. The same way he used that donkey's jawbone to kill a bunch of people, I don't know. But today, we're not remembering Samson for his mighty deeds. We're remembering Samson for something else. Delilah lived in the Valley of Sorek, which lay on the border between the territories of ancient Philistines and the Israelites. In fact, it was the Israelite tribe of Dan. Samson, one of the judges of Israel, had an affair with Delilah, and she betrayed him to the Philistines. Judges 16:19. He cheated on his wife with an enemy to his people. The various forms of Philistine and Philistia appear almost 300 times in the Old Testament. This is a group that would cause a lot of trouble for God's people, mostly in the books of Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel. The Philistines, who regularly opposed the Israelites in the biblical narratives, were believed to be part of the sea peoples. They were a seafaring group of invaders that came from other areas and invaded the eastern Mediterranean around 1200 BC. So they got to the promised land about 200 years before Joshua did. They occupied a small region in southwestern Canaan along the coast. And they had five major cities called the Pentapolis, which included Gaza, and we hear about Gaza quite a bit, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and Gath. Samson and many Israelites did not obey God's commands to be separate, did not obey God's commands to worship Him alone. And last week I talked about how God said, "I am one and there is no other." So here we see them making the same mistakes as Ahab and Jezebel. And next week I'm going to talk about Potiphar's wife. Why am I talking about people that aren't remembered too fondly? Because I believe that we learn not just from the good examples in the Bible, we learn from the bad examples. And so we're also going to celebrate Mother's Day with a good mother. Then, being fair, we're going to talk about some lowdown men. I was trying to think of the appropriate way to describe them. And the series will be called Bad Boys. And then we will have Father's Day, where we talk about an exemplary father. So just letting you know where we're going. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness have and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, "I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And this is just as true today, that Christians tend to have a drastically different worldview than non-Christians. And it's growing, it seems like the gulf is getting bigger and bigger every day. And that is why it's so important for people to date and to marry other Christians. Leviticus 20:26. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. In our own lives, we have to realize the importance of obedience. And by the way, when I'm preaching at myself more than I'm preaching at you. Dr. Tony Evans, who's one of my favorite pastors to listen to, is the pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Church, discussed in a recent devotional. He said, "A lot of what God wants to do in your life won't be done until you do what God has already revealed to you." Let me say that again. A lot of what God wants to do in your life won't be done until you do what God has already revealed in you. In today's world, we have so much knowledge. If you think about it, we can learn more from Google than people knew 50 years ago. That we can Google almost anything. We can go to the internet for so many answers. And it's interesting, there's so much knowledge on the internet and so little wisdom. And he's saying, in our modern societies, we know a lot more than people used to. But until we obey what we know, God's not going to use us in so many ways that God could. That God called David because he knew as a shepherd boy, he would be obedient to defeat Israel's enemies. God is not looking for a perfect person. God is not looking for someone with no mistakes. God knows all of our history. When Christ died on the cross, he died for every sin we would ever commit. But God is looking for obedience. What he asked you to do isn't always that huge. Just like Moses's, move at the Red Sea wasn't all that huge. All God was asking Moses to do was to hold out the stick. You know, we celebrate Charlton Heston. We celebrate the Ten Commandments. We celebrate seeing the waters part as Moses raises the staff. Moses didn't do a whole lot. And when God called Moses, Moses originally in Exodus chapter 3 gave God five excuses. I'm too old. I can't speak. Can't you use someone else? I'm not qualified. God did not listen to Moses' excuses. God did not care that David was too young or that Moses was too old. God was just asking for someone to obey. If Moses would just hold out the stick, then God said he would handle the rest. Sounds kind of like my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Samson was a man of incredible strength. He might have been the strongest man in the world. Samson's strength was legendary. Unlike anything that's been done before or since, he single-handedly struck down 1,000 Philistines using only the jawbone of a donkey. Judges 15:15. And now people may be skeptical and say, how is this possible? Well, is it possible for a man to die, 3 days later, rise again, and for all of humanity's sins to be forgiven? How is it possible for a man to calm the storms? How is it possible for a man to heal? How is it possible for a man to forgive you of your sins? With God, all things are possible. And if you think about it, we know that the universe is massive. We know that there are things in the universe that are thousands or millions of times larger than the earth. And God created it like that. Nothing is impossible for God. By the power of God's Spirit, he tore a lion into pieces. Judges 14:6. And he uprooted the gate of the town of Gaza and carried it up a hill. Judges 16:3. So powerful and strong was Samson, no one could defeat him on the battlefield. All of Samson's mighty acts were done in opposition to the Philistines, with whom they had a bitter, long-standing rivalry. Described in Judges 14:15. God told his people, this is your land. But they did not listen. The Philistines were always trying to find his strength and find a way to defeat him. They were always thwarted. Let me use a basketball analogy. Shaquille O'Neal was one of the most dominant big men in the history of basketball. I was staying at a hotel in Dallas, and I got to see him and the Orlando Magic. He was 6 inches taller than his tallest bodyguard. He looked like a giant to me. And all the crowd rushed to see him as the rest of the Orlando Magic quietly got on their bus. And Shaq was dominant. Shaq was on championship teams. It was very hard to stop Shaq in the paint. Until people figured out that guy cannot shoot free throws. What the biggest, strongest man in the league could not shoot a free throw to change his life. There were games where he shot about 50% from the free throw line. There are high school kids who can shoot over 90% from the free throw line. He had an Achilles heel, and so did Samson. It's so easy for us to fall into temptation and to be weakened by the world around us. And two people fell. Samson fell, but so did Delilah. She traded her integrity for money. A man was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy boulevard. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing and he stopped at the intersection. But he could have beaten that red light by accelerating through. The tailgating woman was furious. She must be like the people I know that drove in Florida, or in Fort Worth, or in Austin, or in Houston, and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. dropping her cell phone and her makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up, and in her face was a very serious police officer. The order offered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station, where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. And having worked in prison, that's no fun for people, especially with that awful food. After a couple hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her. He said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car when you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate, and the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed that someone had stolen your car." By the way, that's why I don't have a fish on the back of my car, because if I ever do anything stupid in traffic, people are going to blame Jesus. I don't want that kind of guilt. When Samson began consorting with Delilah, the Philistine leaders saw the opportunity. They came to Delilah with the offer: "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we can have him and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." It was an offer she could not refuse. Delilah was the lure for Samson. Just like any of you who fish know, you either need a tasty looking worm, a minnow that can spin and swim and jive and juke, or you need a nice lure if you're going to catch fish. Where have we left ourselves exposed to the enemy? And as many of you know, I taught history. And Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany in 1933, leading Winston Churchill to remark, "Thank God for the French army." That was probably the last time that phrase was mentioned. To Churchill at the time, France's army seemed like a powerful bulwark against the possible Nazi invasion. And France actually had more tanks than Germany. The defeat of this powerful army in a mere 6 weeks in 1940 is considered one of the greatest military feats in history. The Maginot Line was a line of forts and cannons and artilleries that separated France from Germany. By the way, just another bit of trivia. Hitler created the Autobahn so that he could easily invade France. Hitler was making this highway system in Germany. He told the French, "Hey, why don't you build some highways next to it? We'll have trade and peace." The same thing he told the Soviet Union. And World War I was fought in the trenches, so everyone thought the next war would be slow. Everyone in trenches for months on end. And crucially, the line did not cover the Franco-Belgian frontier. There was no line in Belgium, no line in the Ardennes forest. And they thought, with the slow tempo fighting, we'll dig in and we will be safe. We don't have a weakness. Hitler turned for advice to General Erich von Manstein, who argued for a daring campaign. He recognized that the Maginot Line was too formidable to attack. Instead, he proposed attacking through neutral Holland and Belgium, with the main blow against the French to be delivered in the Ardennes Forest, a very hilly, forested region. The French said, "No way an army can move through that." The Germans never had to defeat the Maginot Line, and with their blitzkrieg or lightning war, they were able to defeat the French in 6 weeks. There's a major movie coming out soon called Dunkirk, which is actually one of the last events of those battles where the British and the French armies were saved by a bunch of patriotic British folks with boats who came there and rescued them. As Christians, we must guard our hearts and lives. If you have a chance, please remember Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. If you remember anything that I say today, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talks from your lips. Keep your eyes looking straight ahead. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and to be steadfast in your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Basically, what we are being told in Proverbs, probably by King Solomon, is guard your heart. Now, that was the seat of the mind in that time. That was guarding your thoughts, guarding your beliefs, guarding your emotions. That all of what you do, you have to be careful to guard your character. And what he was saying is if your heart goes, all these other problems will spring up from it. That our problem is not that we have an uncontrolled temper. Our problem is not that we don't treat people well. Our problem is not that we gossip. Our problem is we have a heart condition. And thank God Jesus did the surgery. But we must guard ourselves. We must be vigilant. And it's interesting he said, don't look to the left or to the right. If anyone who's been plowing knows, if you look to the left or to the right, that's going to be some messed up fields. That you got to keep going straight. And if anyone who's taught football or has played football knows, if you've got a running back who has the ball, they need to go north-south. They don't need to spend all their time doing spins and running from the sidelines and saying hi to their friends. The running back's job is to score a touchdown. When he gets the ball, he needs to go straight. He needs to head towards the goal line. And that is what we're being told to do. But look at how Samson opened up his life. He had an affair with Delilah. And over again, she kept poking at him, and poking at him, and poking at him. And if you know someone who's really irritating, after they've been after you 12, 20, 30 times, eventually you might say, I'm just tired of fighting. Sure, I'll tell you what you need to know. Proverbs 5, 1 through 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to the words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. Proverbs does not mention words. It's interesting in a culture that says, just do it. That says, you live your life, I'll leave mine. God is still the same God. The Bible is still the same Bible. The Savior is still the same Savior. And the Lord is telling us we need to live righteous lives. We need to be on watch. We need to be vigilant. There was one time when I was selling shoes. And usually when someone shoplifted, they're pretty sneaky about it. I had a coworker, and she stole the infant Nikes for her kid. And she would take those tags that would let people know you were stealing, and she'd hide them at the very top of the shelves where we kept the shoes. But I had one guy who tried on some really cheap, ugly Reebok running shoes, and then he just ran out the store with them. You got to be vigilant because you never know what people are going to do. He could have stolen some really nice Nikes. But no, he wanted some Reebok running shoes and he just ran out. Christian teens, men and women must be on guard from people whose words taste like honey, who manipulate and scheme, and who will lead them from the righteous path of God. I find it fascinating that Scripture says, better are wounds from a friend than kisses from an enemy. Better that we be around people that will tell us the truth than to listen to those who have the sweetest words, but who mean only to lie and to deceive. You don't have to go much farther than Bernie Madoff and all of these investors that took billions of dollars promising the moon. We'll get you 8% returns, 10% returns every year. We have a foolproof system. The words are sweet. When you look at the Old Testament, the prophets who usually had the good news, the prophets who said, yeah, king, do whatever you want. King, form that alliance. King, you're going to live forever. The ones who had the sweetest words were the greatest liars in the Old Testament. Repeatedly, Samson hid the truth from her. He lies about the source of his strength on three different occasions. But eventually he breaks down and he tells her the source of his strength. The most costly haircut in history. Politicians have gotten $500, $2,000 haircuts on runways. That is not as expensive a haircut as what Samson got. Slowly by slowly, he lost his integrity and he paid the ultimate price. Now the good news is there was some matter of redemption. When everyone was celebrating that they had blinded him, that they were going to kill him, he brought the temple down with him. But how much better Samson's life would have been if he brought down the temple due to his obedience than to his disobedience? And how much quicker can we learn our lessons by reading Scripture, by praying, by having godly friends, than by learning them through experience? And 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. We shouldn't remember that Delilah sinned here as well, that she gave up her integrity because of money. Both of them ending in disaster because of their lack of self-control. Both lost their integrity. If you'd please bow your heads for a moment. Dear Lord, please open our eyes to our weaknesses. Please help us, Lord, to see how to live a wise, righteous life. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the world that you created for us. Lord, give us wisdom. Teach us your paths. Give us a heart that seeks after you. It's in Christ's glorious name that we pray. Amen.